Well, good morning, KRFY listeners, and thanks for tuning in to the morning show today, August 6th. I'm Susie Prez, here with my once-in-a-while co-host, Julie Calamine. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Susie.
And we have a really fun and informative interview lined up today with organizers of the upcoming Aether Traverse Gravel Race, which is the final race of a three-part Idaho Panhandle Gravel Grind series. And with us will be Charles Mortensen, race director.
I suppose you can call me that.
Good morning, Good morning. Mr. Mortensen. And Sammy Berryman, is going to be joining us soon here. Mm-hmm. So thanks for stopping by today and telling us about this. It's kind of an exciting thing. This is the first year you've done three of them, and we'll get to the whole picture coming up. Good morning, Mr. Charles Mortensen.
Good morning.
Race director of the Gravel Grind Series. It's called the Idaho Panhandle Gravel Grind Series.
Gravel Series, yeah.
Gravel Series, not Gravel Grind Series.
Correct.
Okay. So there's a lot to this. It's what you're in your, what, fourth year now?
Let's see. The first one was 2019, and that was the three-quarter minus Sequel Tour, which we've been doing since then, except two-year hiatus during COVID. We started the Monarch Grind, which is the second race in the series, I think. We've done that twice. Three times now. So 23, 24, 25. And this year is the inaugural Aethers Traverse, which is coming up on August 16th.
That's right. And why did you add another one to this series?
We started the series 3 years ago, and we had, as the middle race, we had we included the Chafe, because they added a couple gravel routes, and then the Monarch Grind was our last race. And then this year we decided that it worked better for our series to just keep it all in-house and organize the three races and a little more continuity in the way we do it and how we organize it. So we dropped the Chafe race out of our series and added a new one, Aethers Traverse.
Aethers Traverse.
Yeah.
Okay, and why don't you tell us about the date and some of the basic details about entry and how folks could get involved and the details of the race itself. And is it a race or is it more of just an experience?
It is a race. Some people do it just to ride it. There are quite a few people who are competitive and super fast. A lot of people will just be surviving it pretty much. So it's interesting. We have three races. The first is the longest, the last is the shortest, and they get progressively harder as we go, which is counterintuitive given that they get shorter and shorter as we go. But this one is 34 miles, Aethers Traverse, and it's almost entirely climbing. You go up and over Baldy to the Priest Lake drainage, and then you climb up the backside of Schweitzer up to the Sky House. So it's 34 miles, but it's 6,400 feet of climbing, I think.
Oh, my goodness.
So a lot of downhill in the beginning and uphill at the end. That's kind of change. That's like opposite of what you hope for. But
yeah.
If people come down the hill from Baldy,
yeah,
I'll be at the bottom of the hill in one of your first aid stations.
Yes. So KRFY is going to host our aid station on the course, which is going to be over on East River Road, just before we turn onto one of the state roads that climbs up the backside of Schweitzer, before the real climbing begins.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So these races, like when you go to a foot race, a running race, mm-hmm. people are along the edges cheering you on.
Yeah.
I think of Bloomsday, it's a whole community event. It's an internal thing to kind of take it on and yourself out there.
Yeah. It's spectator-wise, it's kind of a tough one. It's kind of a gnarly course, it's almost entirely gravel, dirt roads, and which get rougher and rougher as you go up. So in terms of access for spectators, it's not ideal, although there will be lift service from Schweitzer for spectators from the village up to the finish. So that's going to be, the finish is going to be really tough. I mean, people are going to be coming up the backside, getting to the bottom of the T-bar, and then climbing up to the Sky House from the T-bar, which is super steep.
Right.
Even though it doesn't look like it in the winter when you ski down that, it seems like you're just poling and just trying to get going. It's really steep on a bike going up it. But
have you done this course? Have you personally checked it out?
Yeah, we did it last summer. Sammy and some others did it a few weeks ago, and some other people did it. So we've been kind of tweaking the course a little bit, trying to come up with the best route, and I think we've got it nailed down pretty well now.
Do you think at the very end, some people will be carrying their bike or pushing
There's a couple sections near the top where people will definitely be walking their bikes up it. Not long sections, but most of it is rideable.
You just can't be pedaling it, so you'd have to stop.
Yeah, there's a couple steep sections that are kind of loose and cobbly and, you know, washed out that are kind of hard to ride your bike on. Try to keep a rhythm going.
Charles, what inspired you to design this particular race? It sounds like a killer.
Yeah, I guess so. We have three races in the series, and each one is very different. So that was part of the impetus to just make something that's a little different than the others. So this is, even though there is a pretty long descent off of, you know, coming down the west side of Baldy, most of this is essentially a hill climb.
Okay.
Whereas, you know, the middle one, the Monarch Grind, is big descents, big climbs, a lot of even more climbing than this one, but longer and a lot of descents. And then the first one is kind of two big climbs and then mostly flat and rolly.
I see. So. Do you expect folks that have participated in the other two events to sign up for this one?
Yeah, a lot. There's so the first one is our biggest attendance. We, like, this year I think we had 140 people or something like that. The Monarch Grind, we had 62, and we'll probably have about that. I think we have 57 registered for this one so far.
Okay.
So there's a lot of people that are doing all three because they're trying to get the points to get a good, you know, top finish for the series.
And sure. Just a general question. Gravel races.
Yeah.
What was the appeal? Why did you start setting this up in the first place? I know it took me a while to understand what 3/4 cyclotour was about. Yeah. 3/4 indicates the size of the gravel.
Yeah.
Is my memory of that.
Yeah. So 3/4 minus is the grade of stone that the road departments use usually as a base for building roads. So it's 3/4 minus 3/4 inches and smaller pieces of stone, essentially. So gravel riding it's probably the biggest growing sector in cycling. It's a very versatile type of riding where you're essentially on a road bike that's a little bit more comfortable than a road bike, wider, knobbier tires, and you can go anywhere on them. You can ride pavement, you can ride gravel, dirt roads, you can ride single track. So it's kind of an adventure kind of riding where you can just get on your bike at home and go anywhere you want to go. As opposed to like mountain biking, where you typically will put your bike in a car, drive to a trailhead, ride the trail, put your bike in the car and go home. Road biking, where you're kind of limited mostly to paved roads.
So the appeal is that it's more universal. Right out of your door, you can get there and then go up into the hills on roads, not just trails.
Exactly.
So what's the difference in the bikes?
So it's essentially a road bike, slightly less aggressive geometry, meaning not as steep angles on the tube, so not as tight steering or twitchy you know, feel as a road bike has. So it's a little longer wheelbase, a little more comfortable for a long ride on roads or dirt or whatever.
Do they have shock absorbers?
Some of them do, yeah. My gravel bike has a suspension fork on it.
Nice.
It's kind of nice.
My little bike I ride with the basket, and of course the rack around town has a shock absorber, and I love it.
Yeah.
It's very nice. I wonder if that bike could be used, not for this one, but for getting around.
Yeah, you know, in fact, for this race, some people may opt for even a full suspension mountain bike or just a hardtail mountain bike. I think a gravel bike, as long as the gearing is right, is probably the best option for this race. The Monarch Grind, which is the one we do out in Clark Fork, is a lot of people do that on a mountain bike because it's very rough terrain and there's long descents on washboardy stuff that it's more comfortable on a suspended mountain bike with fatter tires on it.
That makes sense. Yeah. You know, I helped at the aid station for that ride, and it was a great day. Yeah. And something I noticed people doing from time to time was adjusting their air, their pressure in their tires, because too much air pressure gets uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also, especially for those long descents on that ride, a little less air also gives you better traction, and a more comfortable ride.
Sure. And also a lot of flat tires this year.
Yes.
Lots of them. Well, are you expecting that for this ride?
I don't think as much as in the Monarch Grind. You know, most of the rough terrain on this ride is uphill, so you're not going as fast. You know, your tires aren't getting beaten up as much as on the long descents on the, you know, chunky gravel.
Yeah, interesting. I wouldn't have known what does in a bike tire.
Just a little anecdotal thing. Last year I was on the aid station on the Monarch Gravel Grind. And as the first riders were coming down that hill over by the aid station, because it was a big loop way up high, and then they were heading into Clark Fork, that rider was going so fast, it was like a blur.
Yeah.
And all he did was look over at us and kept on going.
Yeah.
And so he was really looking at his timing.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a timing thing where at the end of the three series, there's a presentation of some kind of an accumulative value to your races.
If so you've done all each of the races and the three-quarter minus, the first one has two routes. So those are scored, according to the route. So we have a short route and a long route. So they get points accordingly. The longer route gets more points for your finish position. And then the Monarch Grind and the Ethers Traverse each get points equally. So whoever has, and to be considered for the results of the series, you have to do all three. So the top three will get a podium finish
and a prize.
At the end of it. And a prize, yeah.
So there will be folks that have done all three.
Yes. Yeah.
Is this advertised nationally? Are there folks coming in from, like, I'm a gravel rider, I'm a racer, I'm coming from Timbuktu, whatever, because this is what I do, kind of person?
I don't know how much of a national reach we have. We do get a little bit of advertising regionally, and I saw yesterday somebody from Arizona signed up for it. So I don't know if, you know, we have a few people. We have people from Canada. We have people from Montana, Washington, uh-huh. Idaho, mostly regional. But we had somebody from Chicago for mm-hmm. the three-quarter minus.
So word is kind of getting out, or they have friends or relatives here.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's their thing, is gravel riding.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, for instance, last year at the Monarch Grind, there were a lot of people saying, wow, this is great. I'm going to go home and tell my friends about it. So word gets around, mm-hmm. you know.
I know on the Longbridge Swim, they had 800 swimmers, open water swimmers, last weekend, and about 400 of them came from outside of our exact area. Most mm-hmm. of those would be Coeur d'Alene and Spokane, but there were folks from all over.
Yeah.
It's gotten the word out, but they just celebrated their 30th anniversary.
Yeah, they've been doing it for quite a while.
Word will get out.
Well, yeah. Something that I listened to when I was at the aid station was were the people mentioning the beauty of that ride and the great views. And there are so many beautiful places in the country, but we are unique in our beautiful, beautiful.
All three of our races have, you know, pretty epic scenery. The Monarch Grind is probably the most epic. I mean, it's just
really amazing.
Incredible, especially the way we ran the route this year clockwise. For the riders, you know, you ride up to that saddle, Johnson saddle, and then you're just riding along and the mountain views are spectacular. And then you suddenly, you're up high and you see the lake for the first time from up high. And it's just, it's the most amazing view, you know, you'll ever see.
Oh.
And then you have that view for that whole, you know, it's like a 12-mile descent that they're just going down and the lake is in the foreground the whole way down. It's pretty amazing.
Has anyone ever been chased by a bear through the wilderness?
No, but I know during the Monarch Grind, Mike Murray was doing sweep in his pickup truck, and he saw, I think he said he saw, no, I one cougar, I think, up there.
Wow. Yeah. This year.
This year, yeah.
Yeah. I know that many of the riders last year for the Monarch Grind had bear spray on their handlebars. Intentional.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
In fact, on our website, we say basically carrying bear spray with you would not be a silly thing to do.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It's North Idaho.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Charles, is this kind of event growing across the country? Is it one of the fastest growing?
It is. There's lots of gravel races all over the country and the world, too. And, you know, it's a worldwide thing. It's like a international cycling gravel. You know, there's like the world championships of gravel racing, and it's pretty big.
It's either on the road or on the gravel, or I don't know if mountain biking on paths and things like that has their own series of.
Their mountain bike racing is, you know, thing. Has been going on for quite a while, and that's. You know, there's a few different disciplines within mountain biking. There's downhill mountain biking. There's cross country. There's marathon, which is basically just doing a really long mountain bike ride.
I think you put together a real unique three race series.
Yeah.
And is that pretty much where you're going to stay?
I think so. For next year, I think we're going to create a non-profit entity to manage these three races, and I suppose there's some room there to maybe add some stuff to that, although three races each one of these is a lot of work to put together and manage. There's a lot of prep time that goes into it, so I don't know if I have the jam to do more than three of them, but I do have Sammy helping me, and she's young and enthusiastic.
Energetic. I think she did her first ride last year.
She did, yeah. Last year, or 2 years ago, I think.
2 years
ago.
So who does put it on? It's not just two people. It really came out of your bike shop.
Yeah.
Syringa
Cyclery. Yeah.
And so what is going on there?
So... I'm getting out of Syringa Cyclery. I've sold the building, and there's a chance that Syringa Cyclery may continue on elsewhere with someone who works there now, possibly. That's still to be decided, but I'm getting a little tired.
Well,
and it's a lot of work, so I'm going to focus, I think, on the gravel series and maybe some other things.
So stay with that.
Stay with that.
Not being a bike shop owner.
Exactly.
Right.
I think you have something planned for the future, too. You want to mention that now?
What's that?
Well, you did the KRFY broadcast
training. Oh, yes, yes.
So, and you and Jason Meshberg
Susie has been trying to get Jason Meshberg and I together to do a radio show, music radio show. And so I checked in with Jason a couple of days ago, and he's ready to do it, and I think I am. So I don't know when we're going to start it, but we did start putting together some song lists.
Some, you know, you could have themes to each week or whenever it broadcasts. I will send you a program proposal.
Okay.
And you can start ruminating on that and putting it together. It's a fun process to kind of start imagining your show. And the thing that we do here at KRFY is we really train you well to, because you are the engineer of your show.
Yeah.
So what I'm doing over here on the board, you will be doing.
Train us with that. Good.
And it's doable. Right, Julie? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a mentoring process. And I'll tell you that the program proposal worksheet is not that difficult to fill out. It's pretty simple. So that part's easy. And then you'll get lots of support learning how to make things work here in the studio. So don't feel anxious about it. It's fun to have new things to look forward to. I think, Charles, you're a little bit younger than me, but this was really a fun experience for me to help out at KRFY.
Nice.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I don't know when we'll start it, but
we'll work that soon out with you and get you ready to.
Yeah.
And the fun part is imagining your show. Just keep doing that and you'll get it, and what you're going to say and how you're going to say it and the music you're going to bring.
Yeah.
Because music speaks for itself, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's nice to talk about music too, though.
It's really great.
That's the way I see it, is kind of presenting a song and then putting
it's the
your,
magic.
Your personal feelings about it into words.
And then you have to come up with a name for your show.
Yeah. We have one that Jason came up with. Should I mention it?
It's your call.
And I think he may have gotten this from a friend of his, but I'm not sure. Anyway, it's Static in the Attic.
That's pretty good.
Cute, I like it, because there's all kinds of that going on, right?
Charles, will your show, do you think it'll be genre? Will it go towards certain type of music, or?
I kind of see it as pretty all over the board. Jason has really good taste in music, and we both have very different tastes in music, but he and I get together and we play guitars together every now and then with other people. And so, yeah, everyone brings their own little personal, and everyone's got different songs that they play on guitar. So it'll be like that on the radio show too.
You sell your bike shop, you can become a KRFY broadcaster.
There you go.
That's the bottom line. So getting back.
That's why I'm selling the bike shop.
So you can become a. Okay, good.
Excellent.
It doesn't pay anything because it's all volunteers, by the way, but it is what makes this community radio. Huh?
We didn't mention that it is volunteer.
Yeah. It's what makes community radio here at 88.5 is, I feel there's like five things. And a big one is our volunteer broadcasters, because it is the voice of our community. Who are these people that are doing really great work and bringing entertainment, art, information, education to our community right here in Sandpoint?
Right.
I mean, I love the afternoon, kind of getting off from the subject, but I love the afternoon on Thursday show that is the high schoolers.
Yeah.
It's called CP at 3. We have the voice of our high school on our radio. That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Right. And I'll be looking forward to your show very much, because we don't know what we're going to discover in here.
Yeah.
I'll be listening. I'll be waiting for
that. So that's breaking news, Static in the Attic.
All right.
Let's get back to this Gravel Grind series.
Yes. August 16th. We do. Susie, August 16th.
This is 88.5 KRFY. We're back in the studio. This is the Wednesday morning show. I'm Susie Prez here with Julie Calamine. And are we having fun, Julie?
Well, it seems like we're having a lot of fun. I hope that's coming over the airways. Charles, are you having fun?
Absolutely.
Okay. That's what we go for.
And what are we here for today?
Yes.
What are we talking about?
We're cycling back to a cycling event. We've kind of gotten off topic and we've decided we had our song break and we've regrouped. And so Charles has some notes and he's going to cover, I think, more events of the day. Would like to talk about who might be interested in signing up and also sponsors.
And how do you, is you still have, you're
yeah,
still
so
open for, signing up.
For the series, we have a website. It's panhandlegravel.com. And all the information you need is there, including the routes for Ethers Traverse. You can link to the registration page from that. Sign up is open. It through race day, so people can still sign up on race day. Although we're hoping to get people to sign up, everyone who's signing up before that, because it just makes things easier in the morning. We start, the race starts at 8 o'clock, and we have next week, actually at the end of this week, the price goes up. So that's another incentive for people to sign up soon. But we will have packet pickup next week, Tuesday through Friday at Syringa Cyclery, and people can register there as well. and what was the other question? Who does it?
Yes, who might be a good candidate for this race?
I will say this is a tough race. It's short by the standards of gravel races, 34 miles, but it's mostly climbing, and it's pretty tough climbing. You're climbing up, you know, from 2,000 feet up to 6,400 feet in one fell swoop. When, you know, once you get up and over Baldy, you've got that 4,000-foot climb up to the Sky House.
I can feel my legs burning just thinking about it.
Ouch. It's a leg burner for sure.
Yes.
But it's a gorgeous ride. I don't know if you've ever been back there, but there's all those gravel roads behind Schweitzer are all state roads, IDL, and they're really well-maintained and beautiful. Most of the route follows the East Fork. I think it's just called the East Fork River. It's the Middle Fork of the East River. That's what it follows.
Okay.
Most of the way. We're going to have the aid station, KRFY's aid station on the route, but people should be prepared with bring a lot of water, a lot of nutrition. You know, if you don't have the means to carry a lot of water, you can get water from the river on the route. I would recommend filtering it, but we will have plenty of water at the aid stations, and we'll have motorcycles and one truck with water and some supplies, first aid, stuff like that. So we will be able to get water, you know, and nutrition to people if they need it.
What about bike repairs? Because when you think about going up these steep hills, you think about your sprockets, the chain, the tires.
Yeah. Everyone who's in this ride should come prepared to do their own repairs. However, our support vehicles will have some basic tools and some extra inner tubes and that sort of thing, but not, when you go out on a long bike ride, you should be prepared to address a flat tire or, you know, a minor mechanical issue.
Yes.
And we hope that most people will be prepared to do that.
Charles, we wanted to talk about how this race or event was named. How did it get its name?
So Ethers Traverse is the name, and Ether, so spelled A-E-T-H-E-R, is the Greek god of light and sky, and represents the purest form of air that the gods breathe. So Ethers Traverse is our route, traversing across the southern Selkirks and then climbing up the backside of Schweitzer into the rarefied air of at the Sky House. So the air is getting thinner as you go up, and you'll be breathing the god, the air of the gods when you get to the Sky House.
All right. Well, I don't get goosebumps very often, but you all in the studio can see that all my little arm hairs are standing up from that description. What a delightful name.
The air of the gods.
Yes.
Yeah.
since I was at the aid station for the previous event, it was really fun. The whole day was fun. The registration process was lively. The aid station was fun. And then the event after the dinner was really fun at the Squeeze Inn in Clark Fork. What do you have planned this year for this time?
So this year, the riders finish at the Sky House, and then they can either ride down to the village, or they can take the lift down with their bike to the village where... And spectators can take the lift up to the finish if they want to, watch people finish. Mm. So we'll have food. Schweitzer is going to provide food and drink down at the village, and we'll have a little award ceremony down there. So it should be fun. We'll have some prizes for the riders and some, swag to throw out to people who don't get on the podium, but...
There you go. And will there be a finish line like we saw in Clark Fork, something to ride through?
Yeah. Yes. So the timing, we have the same timing company that we use for all these races. They're set up, they'll actually have all their data and results down at the village, but they'll have the finish line equipment up there. And we'll have kind of a mini little aid station at the finish line. At the Sky House where, people will make it to the top and we'll have some stuff for them to drink and some electrolytes and a little bit of food before they get down to the village for the real food.
Yeah.
So riders will get a t-shirt, I'm imagining.
There's not a t-shirt for this one, but there is a pint glass and...
always good.
We have those, the same tote bags with... pint glass and some other stuff, sticker and some other goodies in there. Yeah.
Okay. And so there'll be kind of a little party atmosphere down at the village afterwards for the riders and their friends and family.
Yeah.
And
Schweitzer is, so for riders who, there'll be some people staying at Schweitzer for this. And Schweitzer is giving a discount for hotel stays at Schweitzer.
Nice.
Schweitzer managed properties. So that's just for riders, not necessarily, riders and their families, not the general public.
And there may be huckleberries along the way too. And that's
there should
free.
Be, yeah. Yeah. I think they're pretty high up now. But yeah.
Well, go ahead, Julie. You wanted to say something.
I was just going to say the very same thing. And they might be going so darn slowly on that grind that they'll see the huckleberries and could grab one as they're creeping up.
Nutrition.
Yeah, huckleberries are good cycling energy.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Mm. Electrolytes all the way around.
Yeah.
So this is not put on by, as you said, it's a lot of volunteer work. And I just want to give a shout out to you and whoever else is a part of this. KRFY is a co-beneficiary of proceeds from the 3 Gravel Series.
Mm-hmm.
And so thank you very much. It's a wonderful thing to be supported by such a fun group of people. So thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, so Sammy and I do most of the work getting ready for everything. But when it comes down to the race itself, there's a lot of people involved, all volunteers, including, John Hansen always helps me set the course, put all the signs up, which is a full day of work for each of these races. and we have lots of volunteers, the support vehicles. We'll probably have 3 or 4 people on motorcycles out there, at least 1 pickup truck following the riders, and then all the people at the aid station, KRFY, and I think others are going to be out there.
Probably Pop, Pondere Peddlers.
Yeah, Pondere Peddlers. And so Pop provides a majority of the volunteers for everything. We have people helping with registration and packet pickup on day of. It takes a lot of work.
And how are you set for volunteers? Do you feel you have enough?
I think we probably do. I need to, we're going to have a volunteer meeting next Tuesday at 6 o'clock at the shop at Syringa Cyclery. And we'll put out a message about that. We do have a sign up list. It's a Google document that we'll remind people about. But I think we're pretty set for the most part with volunteers.
Great. And I think you wanted to mention some important sponsors.
Yes. I'm probably going to forget some of them because I forgot to bring my list of sponsors.
Are they listed on your website too?
They are. If you go to the panhandlegravel.com website, they are listed at the bottom of the main page there. But Pondre Winery, they always they help out a lot, and they always give us custom labeled wine bottles for the first place finishers at each race. Aseptic, those people are amazing. They provide porta potties, you know, free of charge, and they're really great. The Alpine Shop provides prizes for podium prizes. Evans Brothers also podium prizes and coffee for aid stations and that sort of thing. Hammer Nutrition, which is out of Whitefish, Montana, they provide all our nutrition for the aid stations and for the rider packets.
And they were very popular, I have to say. Lots of Hammer products were grabbed at the aid station.
They have good stuff. Outdoor Experience, aid station sponsor for the 3/4 minus. KLT, Kinuxu Land Trust, they do an aid station for 3/4 minus, and they let us ride on their property for the 3/4 minus. Salsa Cycles, Shimano, which makes bicycle components. I'm sure I'm missing somebody. Matchwood is a big help for the 3/4 minus. They host our race, essentially. And Schweitzer, of course. We couldn't do this without Schweitzer. The Ethers Traverse is going to be pretty fun with their help, for sure.
Not only the beauty of the course, kind of coming up the backside of Schweitzer, but at the afterwards, the help and the fun party.
Yeah, yes. And just letting us use, you know, their facilities and their summer patrol is going to be kind of on standby in case, nice. You know, we need some help from them.
Sure. The end of the race is always interesting.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And they're going to be organizing the food and the drink and down at the village.
Oh, that helps a lot. And what a fabulous place to end up and have your after party. Oh, it's great. Up in the village and then way up at top, up at Sky House. What a great way to end it.
Yeah. So I guess there's a wedding on the same day up at the Sky House. And but I think most people are going to be finished before they're doing it. But so, I don't know. It might be a nice little commingling of activities up there.
You just never know. How long do you expect it might go? What do you think the super competitive guys will do it in? And
I think the fastest people will be probably around 3 hours. So it starts on Baldy Road down on the flats, sort of east of Upland, before you start climbing up Baldy. Point-to-point race, of course. And I think probably the slowest riders are going to be 5 hours, maybe, something like that.
And I noticed it tends to be, at least what I noticed at the last race, was that it tended to be more dominated by men. Do you have a few women in this race?
It's always more men than women for some reason, but I think I haven't looked recently, but I think we have fair number of women signed up. And for all three of them, we've
had decent.
Decent numbers. We always want more women, though.
Yes. Absolutely. It's doable. I know Sammy last year, last year it may have been her first race, but she prepared, she trained.
Yeah.
And she loved it.
Yeah.
Is what I remember the story going.
Yeah. And we have a pretty good battle at the top of the standings, I think, especially in the men. I think Spencer Grassel from Bonner's Ferry and Trent Roberts, who's our 17-year-old that works at the shop, he, I think, and Spencer are a point apart after the Monarch Grind. So...
Woo-hoo. The absent Sammy has just walked in.
We've got Sammy.
We were just talking about you, Sammy, and about women racing, and you have, this is your second year, I think?
Yeah, this will be.
You did the Monarch Grind twice, right?
This would be my third year, actually, because I did the Monarch Grind the first year that it happened, and then I did it last year as well. I'm also out of breath because I just climbed those stairs.
Right. She's rushing in, listeners. We're so happy she made it. We're so glad you made it.
Those stairs. But those stairs, you get it, Susie.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so I've done it 2 years prior, and then this year I decided to go all in and help Charles with the series, which has been really fun. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. We're kind of wrapping it up, but maybe you want to recap a little bit about why you think this is really cool.
I think just the feedback that we've heard from the community is that there's actually local races, and I'm super proud that we're able to provide that and to get local businesses involved and give back to the community, just, you know, how we're donating back to KRFY and back to Pondre Peddlers. So,
yes. And yeah. Sammy, you work at the shop, and we understand there are going to be changes there. Will you devote more time to the races? What's your future going to look like?
Yeah, Charles and I are retiring is what I keep telling everyone. So. No, I'm definitely sticking around, and a lot of energy will be going into those races and trying to make them better, maybe
national
a bit bigger.
Standards.
Bring more women in.
There we go.
Yeah. Charles and I did have a very brief conversation after Monarch Grind, just looking at the registrations list that, man, we need to get more women on the start line. So
doable, right? I mean, women can do up. They do. Women can be super strong endurance riders.
Yeah, I think from what we even saw, like the number of bikes sold in the last month, you know, 8 of those 10 were women, and a lot of those bikes were gravel bikes. So I think that's a great stat that we're seeing that people are just, or that women are buying those bikes. So now we just have to make them feel comfortable or help them just find the pathway to the start line and show them maybe it's like an event that they can do together. Maybe like there's a friend sign up.
Yeah. And maybe it's about completion as you work, as you journey through, you know, an endurance sport like that.
Totally.
Yeah.
So in a nutshell, you're very enthusiastic about this, obviously, and put a lot of time and energy into it as, you know, working together. Just in a nutshell, why? What about it?
Well, biking is really fun. North Idaho is gorgeous. You know, you put those two things together and it's like two birds with one stone. You go get a bike in gorgeous scenery with your friends as well. Like, even if we didn't have this race series, I think that every weekend I'd text our little friend group of Charles and some of the girls and some of the other guys and say, let's go for a Saturday ride and, you know, go get lost out on these trails. So,
Yeah,
it's fun.
There you go. I heard fun 3 times.
Yeah.
So.
And what a great way to explore this wilderness. It's much faster than walking and not as boring as driving. So there it is.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would add that, you know, even though these are races, it's a gravel race series, I would say that probably half of the people who enter these races are just doing it to do the ride. They're not necessarily racing it. You know, they're just out there to enjoy the scenery and ride their bikes with their pals and have fun.
And train for
And also contribute to the to the beneficiaries, you know, so
that's right.
Again, thank you from KRFY for that.
Yeah. Right. And Pondre Peddlers are the other beneficiaries.
Absolutely.
So we split the proceeds with both entities.
Yeah. And Susie, I love your point that to have something to train for is a great motivator. That's always helps me when I have something to look forward to. And I find the older I get, I need more and more motivation. So it's a great motivator.
I mean, look where we live. The other day I was with a friend and we were going to play guitar, but we were really tired. And I said, all I really want to do is take a stroll through the forest. So we got in the car and drove up to Pine Street Woods and strolled through the forest.
Nice.
And it totally changed our energy level. This is where we live. This is an amazing part of the world And here we are. So something like a gravel series is an opportunity. And like you said, Charles, you're not necessarily going to win.
Right.
So just enjoy and train and kind of motivate.
Yes. Exactly. So true. And then, Charles, why don't you remind us of the date and the basic details one last time, and
so
then we'll conclude.
Saturday, August 16th is the race. It starts at 8 o'clock. We start on Baldy, I think race meeting at 7:30 or something like that. Final packet pickup that morning. Packet pickup and registration also is mostly online, the registration. But you could, if you want, come into the shop next week, Tuesday through Friday, and register or pick up your packet. We hope most people pick up their packet at the shop next week, so we don't have to do a lot of that on race day.
And by shop, you mean and where?
Syringa Cyclery at 518 Oak Street in Sandpoint.
There you go.
All
so
right.
Thank you, Sammy Berryman and Charles Mortensen, for coming in and talking to us about the upcoming third in the series, the Ethers Traverse, that's coming up on Saturday, the 16th of August. And there's a lot of great information. You can find out more at gravel.
PanhandleGravel.com.
There you go.
All right.
So thank you so much for coming in. We're going to
thank you.
Kind of go out with some songs. So like I said, we've been talking with Sammy and Charles. This is about the gravel series, the Panhandle Gravel series. And like I also just said, thank you.
And
thank you.
Good
luck. We've done it today.
Good luck, and everybody have a safe ride is what I would say.
There. Perfect, Julie.
Yes.
And thanks for tuning in today. We appreciate your support and your listenership, right? So we're going to go out with a song. This is Sly and the Family Stone, Hot Fun in the Summertime. And we'll be back tomorrow with two things I want to say about what's coming up. Tomorrow, Jack Peterson and Jim Healy will be in the studio with Danette Carnegie from the Sandpoint Teen Center. And I don't know if any of you listened on the 31st of July, but from 1 to 3, we had a guest DJ. It was Viggo Mortensen. He did a great show. So a lot of requests for a rebroadcast. We'll be rebroadcasting that on the 21st of August in the evening from 7 to 9. And like us on Facebook. You'll find out more about everything that's going on here at our community radio station, KRFY.org.
Yes.
There you go. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks for joining me today, Julie Kalamine.
It was my pleasure.